God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from Luke chapter 13, 1 through 9, our gospel reading, with the title of today's text being that of Repent. Jesus reminds us, unless you repent. Now, I will admit, those can be very hard words for us to hear. We usually don't like to hear those words, that we have to repent. Actually, quite the opposite. We would actually rather point to other people and show their need to repent. That's a lot easier. That's more enjoyable for us. But for us to repent, we don't like that. Not only do we not like it, but if someone else points it out to us, we don't even like it even more. Sounds strange, especially when Jesus is the one who calls us to repent. There's a reason behind this struggle between us, between Jesus and his words, and us and our human sinful nature. Our sinful nature knows that it's a lot easier to tear down rather than to build up. So what is the intention of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Is his intention to tear down? By no means. Just the opposite. His intention is to build up, to give life. But sometimes, in order for that to happen, for us to be built up and to have life, we have to turn from our current path of destruction. So as we get into our text, Jesus is sort of being presented with a situation not uncommon in today's world. When some tragedy happens in today's world, what do we usually like to do? We usually like to talk about it. Fair enough, it makes the news. And if you pay attention to the news, you'll find out that bad things seem to cause more attention. So they wanted to get Jesus' take on some of the bad things that happened. Maybe they were going to use this as a way of rallying Jesus to their side. We don't know. But that could be a very good human sinful nature type of view. So they said, you know, did you hear about this, Jesus? That Pilate mixed the blood of the sacrifices of the Galileans. Can you believe it? What a hideous crime. True, it was a hideous crime. But please notice our Savior's reaction. He didn't take sides. He didn't sit there and chastise Pilate. He said, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners? The answer was no. But unless you repent. Talk about turning the tables. A beautiful opportunity to gossip and to slander Pilate or the Galileans did not occur from the lips of our Savior Jesus Christ. But instead, words of life, of salvation, unless you repent. Jesus was not going to give in to the current gossip. He wasn't going to slander and malign people and tear them down. Instead, he's going to be giving the words of life. Unless you repent. Then Jesus goes into another situation about a tower that falls and kills people. Does that mean that they were worse off? Worse sinners? I'm sure that was probably the second major headline. Jesus, again, another beautiful opportunity to malign those builders, to malign those people, and saying, well, God is just giving them their just rewards. No, I tell you, unless you repent, you all likewise will perish. Then Jesus goes into a teaching moment. And whenever we have a parable, we have to start unpacking the parable. The parable is something that's familiar. We should have heard it before. A man having a fig tree that is not bearing fruit wishes to cut it down, but the vine dresser intervenes and says, no, wait a year, I'll dig around it. I'll provide that fertilizer. I'll take care of it. And if it bears fruit, great. If not, then cut it down. And embedded in this parable, we find Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the vine dresser. He is the one that stays the Father's hand. God the Father, who alone cannot stand sin, cannot be in the midst of sin. And that's why he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, eventually to go to the cross, to die, to bear the wrath of our sins, so that he can look at each and every one of us with those loving, caring, fatherly eyes, and saying, yes, you are my dearly beloved children. But there needs to be punishment for our sins. But now, getting back to this one tree, we have a stubborn tree here who does not want to bear fruit. And so what does the vine dresser Christ do? He says, patience, one more year. We'll dig around it, fertilize it, and it should bear fruit. If not, then cut it down. What does this deal with repentance? The teaching story is fairly simple. There needs to be a change. We are currently on a path that leads to destruction. We want to turn around and lead to life. And sometimes those turnarounds in life can be painful. Again, it's a lot easier to tear other people apart than to change ourselves, is it not? So also with repentance. It's a lot easier for us to point the finger at other people and saying, it's all their fault, instead of pointing the fingers at myself and saying, you're right. I made my mistakes. I screwed up. What happens if we do not repent? If we do not bear fruit, as our parable says? Even after we're connected to Christ, the vine dresser, even after the vine dresser digs around us, feeds us with God's word and sacraments, and places us in a community of encouragement, of love and forgiveness, and we still do not bear fruit, we do not turn away from our path of destruction, repent. Or you all likewise will perish. Jesus' words are repeated here with this parable. Doesn't sound very comforting, does it? Except our sinful nature needs to hear and realize that sin is a separation from God. Suffering self-discipline is not that separation from God, but sin is. And sin is constantly pulling us away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for us to turn around and follow Christ is the road of life, salvation. So do we want life, salvation? Paul, in our epistle reading, reminds us that this is still a struggle. We need help. We can't do it by ourselves. And like the fig tree that is taking up space in the garden, it also needed help. It needed to be tendered. It needed to be cared for. We also need to be cared for. And so God places us in his vineyard. He places us in a community that should be loving and caring of one another. A community that is surrounded with God's word, love, forgiveness. A community that focuses upon the sacrament. God's gift, his fertilizer, so to speak, to change us. Yes, God has placed us in his vineyard. He has fed us with God's word. He has given his own body and blood to feed and to nurture us. Is there a change of our hearts? Are we repenting? No, our sinful nature still likes to struggle against this. Our sinful nature still would like to point the finger at other people, even here in the church. Even here in the church. We find where it's still a lot easier to tear other people down by maligning them with our words, with our actions, with our thoughts, than it is when saying, "How can I help you? Why does God place us in the community? Because he knows we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in our Lord and Savior or even come to him. So we need that Holy Spirit. We need the gospel. We need the sacraments," as Martin Luther reminds us. We need this special community that God has placed us in, surrounded by word and sacrament, because the weight of the world and the sin and its pressures are great, and we cannot do it by ourselves. By ourselves, we are on the road of death and destruction. But with Christ and people who are connected to Christ, there is help and salvation. There is life. Yes, God places us here in a community that should be loving, caring, accepting, encouraging, a community that should be saying, "How can I help you?" instead of a community that wants to tear us apart to shreds. So we look to Christ for the answer. When our sinful nature wants to do things our own way and be on a path of destruction instead of life, we look to Christ. And we pick up his words for us. Today, this isn't just about them. This is about you. This is about me. I tell you, unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. So today we come with penitent hearts. We ask the Lord for forgiveness and strength. When we're so quick to put other people down, so quick to blame others, so quick to come up with excuses and why I shouldn't be involved, it's not my problem. And we come before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and we say, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Feed me with your word. Help me to give of myself to a community around me. Help me to show your love and forgiveness, for many people are hurting and in need, especially this person, myself." So we come before our Lord seeking his grace, his help, his care, as he gives it to us from other people around us, and most importantly, from himself. Yes, Jesus has the words of eternal life. He gives us the ability to turn around and to follow him. So repent, which sometimes sounds as a bad thing, now because of our Savior, is a good thing. He changes our hearts so that we can come to him, that we can repent, turn to him, and have life. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.